It's time to shed some light on truth. You're tuned to the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. The Bible Answer Man and CRI are here to provide solid answers that equip Christians to defend their faith and strengthen their walk with the Lord. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question answered on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Our contact number is on the World Wide Web, equip.org. Our address, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and you can speak with resource consultants at 888-7000. And the letter is CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Larry, listening in Branson, Missouri. Hi, Larry.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You are welcome.
This is more of a biblical. I'm trying to stay as biblical as possible. I've got a situation here. It has to do with my wife and my mom. My mom lives out of state, about 300 miles away, and she's now in a she's up in age, has a whole lot of problems ill-wise, and I'm trying to see if I could get my wife to move down there so I can support her a little bit more with medical in-house and so such. At this point in time, my wife don't want to, and seems like the medical's getting worse. We're kind of, our finances, we can't get no in-house, we can't get her to move down here due to finances and to get all the new medical stuff going. So can you give me some biblical advice on how I can speak with my wife to, not to change her mind, but basically, I'm not going to say it's a man's way or no way. I'm just trying to do it in a biblical, if you can help me out with that.
Well, I think the biblical way is, if you are a Christian in the context of a healthy, well-balanced church, is to make sure that you have the support of your church and the counsel of your church in this circumstance. We're going through a very similar circumstance, Larry. We have a situation where my mother-in-law is in a very difficult situation physically and financially, and certainly needs our care and our love and our constant attention. We took her into our own home as a result of that. Now she is in a situation where she needs medical help. But we have had as the abiding first principle what you find in the Decalogue, and that is, we are called as believers to honor our mothers and our fathers. And certainly my mother, my mother-in-law, we want to give them the honor that is due to them. They took care of us when we were children, and it was a difficult task for them. Now we want to take care of them when they are elderly, and we don't want to abandon that responsibility. So I applaud the fact that you want to take care of your mom, but how the details actually work out is difficult for me to decipher as an electronic voice giving you an answer that needs boots on the ground, which is to say, the counsel of Christians that know your circumstance, know your family, so that you're not going it alone. Of course, the basic premise is that you want to love your wife, you want to nurture your wife as well, and your family. That is your responsibility, and you want to testify in all ways by your love, by your life, and then by your lips as well. So you want to be a testimony to your wife in how you deal with this situation. But I think as Christians, get the counsel of those that love the Lord in your own community, because therefore you have a network and are plugged into a body. That's the whole purpose as Christians, not to be lone rangers or isolated from the body, but part of the body, so that when difficult circumstances like this come along, you have a network which not only helps you, but a network by which you can help others when they're in difficult situations as well.
Well, sir, I do appreciate it very, very much. You helped me quite a bit.
Well, you got it, Larry. Thank you so much. Our prayers go with you. And I can tell you in this circumstance that I can very directly relate to what you are going through. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Chad. He's listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Chad.
Hi. First of all, I just want to say you do a wonderful job, and it's absolutely humbling to listen to you on the way home every night. You do a great job.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Secondly, and I'll let you talk, I want to see if you could speak to or clarify, kind of from a 40,000 feet in the air perspective, predestination and rewards in heaven. And I guess specifically, you know, does God know who is going to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and who isn't? Is there really a plan for everybody, or is there an element of man's free will and we don't know what decision he's going to make?
Right.
And secondly, are there different rewards in heaven based off of service that you do here on earth?
Well, yeah, there are absolutely rewards in heaven. And that is a principle that is communicated throughout the Bible, that there are degrees of reward in heaven and degrees of punishment in hell. So we are told that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. And that is not speaking of the reward of salvation, but rather the rewards of service. And the more we live lives that deserve reward, the more we bring glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I think there are many places in which this is cashed out. Certainly, Jesus Christ makes it very clear that we ought not to fixate on earthly vanities like the admiration of men, but we ought to focus on eternal verities such as the approval of the Master. And therefore, he warns his followers, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves
right.
break in and steal. Instead, said Jesus, store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And Jesus made essentially the same point in his parables, particularly if you read the parable of the talents. So there are degrees of reward in heaven, degrees of punishment in hell. But as to the first part of your question, yes, it is important for all of us to recognize that God knows what is going to happen in the future. God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He knows the past exhaustively. He knows the present perfectly. And he knows the future exhaustively as well. But to say that God knows what is going to happen in no way is to say that God fatalistically determines what is going to happen. And we can see that in a practical sense. We can look backwards in our lives and know what has happened in circumstances of our lives, perhaps with other people. But the fact that we know what happened in the life of another person in the past doesn't mean we are the causal agent of what happened in the person's life. We can say the same thing with God, not only with God as he looks backward, but also as he looks forward in time and knows the future exhaustively as the God of heaven and earth who sits outside of time.
Does he, and I think I get where you're going, does he know from day one, Chad one day will get it, or, hey, he's not going to get it?
No, of course he knows all things. So he knows exactly what is going to happen day by day, moment by moment, the rest of your life. He knows your future. He knows your past. He knows all things. But as I said, the fact that he knows does not presuppose that libertarian freedom does not exist, that you do not have the ability to act or to act otherwise. You're not a Chatty Cathy doll where God has pulled the string and you are simply robotically moving through the motions with no will of your own.
Right. He might know the decisions you're going to make, but as far as we're concerned, it's, you know, we make those decisions on a daily basis.
Well, that's right. And again, the fact that he knows does not in any way suppose that he fatalistically determines what is going to happen in the future.
Right. And then lastly, when you talk about the rewards, you know, a lot of times, like, I'll listen to you and I'll say to myself, you've got to have an enormous reward up there. And there's you know, sometimes as you go through life, you think, well, gosh, I'm just trying to pay the bills and take care of a family. You know, is that going to be enough? Or you know, I always sit back and evaluate that.
Well, you got to be faithful with the talents that God has given you. I think the operative passage, and I point to this often, is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11 through 15. You might want to look at that passage, but Paul there starts out by saying that no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then he says, if a man builds on that foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, or wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself, says Paul, will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Now, let me give you some context here. Paul is illustrating the sober reality that some Christians are going to be resurrected with precious little to show for the time they spent on earth. That's why he says they will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. And that conjures up images of people who escape burning buildings with little more than charred clothes upon their backs. That's the essence of the illustration.
Right.
Christ, whose eyes are like blazing fire, will incinerate the work of those who built monuments to themselves. In other words, those who used wood, hay, or straw. And that is going to be the lot of even the most visible Christian leader with a huge platform whose motive was selfish rather than selfless. But on the other side of that equation, you might look at a layperson who builds selflessly upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, and he's using gold, silver, costly stones, using the talent that God has given him. He will receive enduring reward. So a selfless Christian layperson who labors in virtual obscurity is going to hear the words that he longed for throughout his life, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." So the point here to take away is, if you are faithful as a believer, whether you've got a large or a small platform, the point is, are you faithful? Are you using the talent that God's given you? God has not given me your talent. God has not given you my talent. I'm called to exercise my talent as you are called to exercise your talent. So the only question here is faithfulness. And if you are faithful, you will receive enduring rewards, which are pictured in the Bible as crowns, which we can throw at the feet of Jesus Christ, because ultimately he is worthy. So the illustration of crowns is very prevalent in the scriptures. You have the crown of glory that will never fade away, talked about by the Apostle Peter. You have Paul, who talks about the crown of life, and the crown of life is an enduring crown. And then you also have the crown of righteousness, where Paul, of course, when he's passing the baton to Timothy, says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day." But not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearance. So you have the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, and the crown of life.
Right. So the platform is absolutely relevant. You can't compare yourself to other people. It's what your talents and the platform with you're performing from.
Well, that's right. God has given you time, talent, and treasure. You're responsible for that. God has given me time, talent, and treasure, and I'm responsible for that. And so it's not a matter of comparison. And certainly in eternity, even the difference in reward is not going to be a matter of comparison. because the rewards are enhanced responsibilities and enhanced spiritual capacities. The capacity for enjoying music is greatly enhanced if you master a musical instrument. And in the same way, the work we do here and now will be greatly enhancing our capacity for enjoying eternity. That's the point. Again, I've written about this in a book called Resurrection, in a chapter called Rewards. And I'm so happy to answer questions on this subject, because I think all too often we fixate on mean earthly vanities as opposed to eternal verities. So thank you for your call. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with more of your questions. Please don't touch that dial. Do remember, resources like Resurrection can be found at equip.org. So please check it out. Look for resources by which you can equip yourself to make a difference while there is yet time. We'll be right back with your questions.
What is it about wills and trusts that makes us uncomfortable? I've heard it said that a charitable estate plan may be the single greatest act of stewardship in our entire life. It's both a privilege and a responsibility to be taken seriously. The Christian Research Institute is delighted to provide an estate plan organizer on our website that makes this process both informative and easy. Once you've filled out the organizer, you can have it reviewed for any suggestions or additional assistance, and you can receive a referral to a Christian attorney in your state that can help you put the documents in place at a reduced rate. To have our friends at PhilanthroCorp contact you to see if a gift annuity is right for you, go to our website at www.equip.org and click on the Donate Now button, and then click on Planned Giving. Don't touch that dial. The Bible Answer Man will return right after these messages. To remain faithful in a world that claims feelings are just as important as facts, if not more so, we have to know the truth about what we believe and why, because truth matters. But simply knowing correct doctrine can still leave you feeling empty or distant from God. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life will give you the insight you need to live a crucified life, dead to yourself and alive in Christ. This inspirational collection of messages will spur you in a desire to grow even closer to God, especially when life becomes difficult. To find out more or to request your copy of The Normal Christian Life, go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can call a CRI resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Archaeologists are regularly unearthing new discoveries about the ancient world, who lived where and when, what life was like at specific times in history. But according to some rather vocal skeptics, there is little or no historical evidence for the reliability of the Bible. Are these skeptics right? Is the evidence so lacking that we can no longer trust the Bible as the divine word of God? Hank Hanegraaff dispels these myths and gives you a simple and memorable tool to know for certain that the Bible is the most reliable book in all antiquity in the archaeologist's spade. Our gift to you when you partner with the Christian Research Institute to defend the truth of the Bible. Help defend the truth with your gift and request the special booklet equipping you with the historical facts for the reliability of Scripture. You can call us at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org to request your copy today.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by Hank Hanegraaff with accompanying Christmas Carol CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas CD, or quantity discount options. Since the beginning of the modern environmental movement, secular environmentalists have claimed that historic Christianity is largely responsible for today's environmental problems. The issue, however, is not what Christians think or how they behave. It's what the Bible teaches with regard to environmental stewardship. Should Christians be concerned about the environment, and to what extent? Dan Story answers this very question. The average American spends some 5 hours a day watching television. As a dominant cultural medium, television deserves serious attention from apologists who wish to demonstrate the difference between ideas promoted in popular culture and those within the Christian worldview. Author and media critic Robert Velarde demonstrates how to use this medium to reach our society and defend your faith. All of this and more can be found in the pages of the Christian Research Journal. To start your subscription today, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-274 or go online to equip.org. Now, back to more of the Bible Answer Man and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our callers. Next up is Eugene, listening on the web in the Philippines. Hi, Eugene.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
First of all, I'd like to say it's a pleasure to speak with you. I've been listening to you since 1989 and have enjoyed you very, very much throughout the years. It's been very, very big influence, not only in my life, but countless numbers of other people. And I thank you and for what you do at CRI.
Oh, you got it. Thank you so much for the encouragement.
You're welcome. What I question was, I don't know how aware you are of different people internationally. There's a gentleman here in the Philippines, in Davao, Philippines. His name is Pastor Apollo C. Kimbaloy. And, they have, it's called the Sunshine Philippines Movement. And this man is very, very head news. He claims to have 9 million followers, 3 million of which they say are in the U.S. They travel there quite frequently now. He tells people that he is the appointed Son of God. He is the audible voice of God, that the New Jerusalem is here at his compound in Davao, Philippines. And like I said, he's just really, I'm amazed at the number of people that are following this man that believe some of the things that he's telling them. And I didn't know if you were aware of anything about him or not.
Well, we're aware of his website and what he says on his website. And a lot of what you said corresponds to what he communicates himself. I mean, he says that from AD 70, when the temple was destroyed, to April, and I think he actually says April 13, 2005, that was the Christian age. But on April 13, 2005, the Christian system of worship was phased out. And now that the Son is here, and he identifies himself as the Son, the phasing out of all these religious systems has been completed. Because what more do you need but the voice of the Son himself? And he claims to be that voice. Now, obviously, it is dangerous. Obviously, it is decidedly unbiblical. And as to your question, why people fall for the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie, is a guy like this is able to distort the scriptures. But if you don't know the Word of God, then you don't understand the distortion. And so people have Bibles in hand worldwide, but they don't read their Bibles. They don't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth, and thus they fall for winds and waves of doctrine that sweep through the church and destroy the faith of many, because obviously this man is over-promising and he's underperforming. He's taking on a moniker that in some way can be rationalized. I am the voice of God on earth as well in some sense, because God is speaking through me. but God only speaks through me in the sense of my life being used as a vessel to communicate what he has communicated, because I am called to rightly divide the word of truth. So I'm not able to give new prophecy. I'm not able to give new teaching. What I am able to do is to communicate what God has given us in the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. He's not doing that. He's got a serpent seed doctrine that he's communicating and all kinds of other bizarre teachings, which are the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. It is not exegeting Scripture, but eisegeting Scripture, reading into Scripture his own odd predilections.
Yes, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, that's for my wife and I, it's one of our biggest challenges here, is getting people to know what they believe. I mean, I can ask people all the time what they believe, and they can tell me, but the moment I ask them why, they don't have a response. And they, like I say, it's so critical, and I also agree, as we have learned in the last 4 years here, when you stand for truth, you will pay a price. I mean, there are several large denominations here that are faith-based, and when we started speaking about some of the things of like Benny Hinn and Joel Osteen and some of the others, I mean, we had pastors tell their congregation, I was an antichrist, have nothing to do with me, but I don't care. I will not bend for anybody. I mean, I just, whatever it takes, I'm going to stand for the truth and let people know. I admire you also in that through the years listening to you in some potentially difficult situation sometime, you are always very gentle with your answer, and I must admit, sometimes I am not too gentle. That's something I need to work on, but it just gets me really worked up sometimes.
Well, I understand you're a missionary?
Yes, I am.
Well,
Been here since November of 2006. Originally, I just felt God had called us here, but when we tried different parachurch organizations as far as being a missionary, I was not accepted because I am legally blind, and so that was an acceptable thing, and so we came here on our own and just figured, well, if God's in this, he'll take care of us. If not, then so be it.
Wow. Well, you have my admiration and my prayers as well. May God continue to richly bless and use you and your wife, your family, for his glory and for the extension of his kingdom. And I deeply appreciate your call today. I thank you for caring about truth and making a difference. And it's not about numbers. At the end of the day, Eugene, it's about being faithful. In eternity, we'll see that God's tally is much different than ours. So often we count nickels and noses. God has a different valuation of things.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. But one of the things that we enjoy here very much is the people here are very, very family-oriented. There is no such thing as divorce in the Philippines. It does not exist on the law books. And also, abortion is illegal.
Amen. What a great context in which to be a witness for Jesus Christ. May God continue to bless you, my brother.
I thank you very much, and have a blessed Christmas.
You as well. And remember the words in response to this call of the Apostle Paul to Timothy. And you know, Timothy was his young protege, and he said, command and teach these things, and don't let anyone look down at you because you're young. But set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity, until I come. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders lay their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Caleb is listening in Nebraska. Hi, Caleb.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I got a quick question about in Matthew where it talks about blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But I was just wondering what exactly is entailed, and can a Christian actually do it?
Well, it's not an act. That's the first point. It is a continuous, ongoing, willful rejection of the goodness and the grace of God. So it's never a act. It is a continuous action. Now, historically, in the context of Matthew, what you have is Pharisees. They know that Jesus Christ is the one who walks through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy, and yet they militantly hate Christ, and they attribute his miracles to the prince of demons. Okay. So they're not afraid that they have committed the unforgivable sin. They're totally unconcerned about Christ's forgiveness. Instead, with premeditation, with persistence, they willfully blaspheme the Holy Spirit's testimony that Christ was the Son of the living God. So again, it's crucial to recognize that the unforgivable sin is not a single act, but a continuous, ongoing rejection.
Okay, I see. I read that, and it just kind of put a fear in me when I read that. So,
well, as long as you fear that you have committed the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you have not. And anyone, no matter where they are in their stage of life, if they receive Jesus Christ, recognizing that they're sinners, he will become Lord and Savior of their lives, not just for time, but also for eternity.
All right, well, thank you, and God bless.
God bless you. You know, the Bible consistently teaches that those who spend eternity separated from God do so because they willingly, they knowingly, they continuously reject the gospel. That's why John refers to that as the sin that leads to death. Because it is in the sense that those who refuse forgiveness through Christ are going to spend eternity separated from his grace and his love. But we can all be assured that if we sincerely desire God's forgiveness, we can be absolutely certain that we will never be turned away. John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Not hope or wish, but you can know that you have eternal life. Well, as we head towards break, and we'll be right back with more of your questions on the other side of the break, I want to take just a moment to welcome our new listeners on Sirius Satellite Radio. We've expanded to Sirius Satellite Radio. We're also on XM 170, so you can hear us Monday through Friday right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So tune in to XM 170 or Sirius Radio and enjoy the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember that you can receive all the materials that we talk about on the Bible Answer Man broadcast at equip.org, which is our website designed to equip you to always be ready to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. You can write us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultant standing by at 888-7000 CRI. And as we get closer and closer to the end of the year, we face a huge hurdle. And that is a mountain that we are, by God's grace, going to eliminate this year. We had $2.9 million of debt, operational debt, at the beginning of this year. We now are down to $475,000. And we hope by God's grace to be completely debt-free as we seize the opportunities that God lays before us in the year 2011. So stand with us prayerfully and financially. Make your gift out to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, a gift for time and for eternity.
The mission of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is clear: to defend the reliability of Scripture, give reasons for faith, and proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. In a world that is increasingly hostile to the gospel, we will not compromise for the sake of political correctness or popularity, but we are determined to stand for truth no matter what the cost.
If this uncompromising devotion to truth resonates with you, won't you please join us? We depend on faithful monthly supporters to continue this crucial charge God has entrusted us with. To join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team, just call 888-7000-CRI or go to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man will return after this. Since the beginning of the modern environmental movement, secular environmentalists have claimed that historic Christianity is largely responsible for today's environmental problems. The issue, however, is not what Christians think or how they behave. It's what the Bible teaches with regard to environmental stewardship. Should Christians be concerned about the environment? Dan Story answers this very question. The average American spends some 5 hours a day watching television. As a dominant cultural medium, television deserves serious attention from apologists who wish to demonstrate the difference between ideas promoted in popular culture and those within the Christian worldview. Robert Velarde demonstrates how to use this medium to reach our society and defend your faith. All of this and more can be found in the pages of the Christian Research Journal. To start your subscription, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-274 or go online to equip.org.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y, or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith. It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.
Alaska. There's no better place on earth where you can experience God's creative power on display. Stretching beyond your imagination, it is a land of staggering natural beauty. Now you can join the Bible Answer Man Hank Hanegraaff, Grammy Award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp, and Christian Research Journal Editor-in-Chief Elliot Miller for 7+ inspiring days as you cruise into the grandeur of Alaska. During our time together, we'll unfold the pages of sacred scripture as we are strengthened in our belief in the divine creator of the universe. All of our sessions with Hank, your meals, accommodations, and five-star cruise are included in one very low price. To participate in this event, you must register through Sovereign Cruises. Sign up by visiting equip.org or by calling Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. In 1993, Hank Hanegraaff released his award-winning, now classic book, Christianity in Crisis, carefully documenting the wildly distorted understanding of faith that millions of Christians embrace. In the 21st century, Christianity remains in crisis while the faith movement is expanding rapidly around the globe. And that is why Hank Hanegraaff has written an updated and expanded edition of this classic titled Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To say thank you for your faithfulness in partnering with the Christian Research Institute through your special gift of $100 or more, we'll send you a limited leather edition of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, personalized by Hank Hanegraaff. Go online to equip.org or call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, I want to take a moment to welcome our new listeners on Sirius Satellite Radio. It's 161 on the dial. Thank you for tuning into the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Nick, listening on XM 170 next in San Francisco, California. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a question. I have a small church, and I'm teaching about angels, and somebody brought it up that my point was that they were created. But she brought it up that, well, they were made, she read somewhere in the Bible that they were made with fire and water. And I didn't have any idea, and I said, well, you'll be the best person.
Well, they're not.
So that's why I call. And my second question would be, is there any way that you've written a book or any, that actually narrates all the Bible study from Genesis to Revelation?
Well, I haven't done a book that covers the whole panoply of Scripture, but if you read or got a copy of my book, The Apocalypse Code, it gives you a way of interpreting Scripture from the very beginning when God created Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve fell into lives of constant sin, terminated by death, and then the rest of the Bible being God's unfolding plan of revelation, ending up in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. So the Apocalypse Code might be very, very helpful to you, not only in giving you sort of an overview, but giving you the basis by which to read the Bible for all it's worth. But as far as angels are concerned, they were not created out of something. They were created ex nihilo. And we have in Colossians 1 a very clear indication of Jesus Christ as the supreme creator who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. Christ there is described as the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And then Paul goes on to say, for by him all things were created, whether things in heaven or on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. So Jesus Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Thank you very much, sir.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Joe, listening on Bot Radio in Youngstown, Ohio. Hi, Joe.
Hello. I've been studying Abraham, and before Abraham was called in Genesis 12, was he an idol worshiper before Yahweh called him?
Well, we would suppose that he was part of the idolatry that characterized Ur of the Chaldees, that characterized the people of his day, but the Bible simply doesn't tell us much about Abraham's life before his call by God. But Abraham wasn't chosen because of his righteousness, but we are told that he was chosen by God's grace.
That's what I, you know, Hank, that's exactly what I come up with. The only thing is, I look through many books, and I've got commentaries, and I have my own library, sort of. And the thing is, I cannot find nothing, so I went to the library. And it alludes to some of the books there that he may have carved or made some of these idols that were made for the moon god.
Yes. Well, Judaism actually has a tradition. The Midrash contains a story that as a young boy, Abraham came to the realization that idol worship was foolishness. And so he smashed his father's idols, all except the biggest one. And when he was confronted by his father, Abraham exclaimed that the biggest idol destroyed the others. So it's kind of a humorous story that you have in Jewish tradition. But again, it would be perfectly consistent that God called him out of idol worship to worship the true God who created heaven and earth, and then out of him he would make many nations. In other words, Abraham was first Abram. His name was changed to Abraham, father of many nations. And of course, we see in Galatians 3 that Abraham only had one seed, and that seed is Jesus Christ. But if we are in Jesus Christ, we are the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise.
So somewhere in his life then, he came to the reality within himself that this was foolishness. And then through God's grace, God chose him. I think it had to do with a lot of his character.
Well, God doesn't choose us because of who we are, but because of who he is. And here's the point. I think you alluded to it, but you're correct if you're alluding to the fact that Abraham had the light of creation, so that in his world, he knew what we know. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. So he had the knowledge of God as communicated through the creation around him. But he also, as Romans chapter 2 makes plain, had the knowledge of God written upon the canvas of his consciousness. So he knew that there was indeed a God in the heavens. And because he responded to the light of creation and the light of conscience, God gave him the light of Christ. Now, he gave him that light through types and shadows that pointed forward to Jesus Christ. But ultimately, he saw through a glass darkly what would see very clearly, because in our time, Christ has come. He has come, and we look back at the cross as Abraham looked forward to the cross through types and shadows.
Okay, sir, I thank you very, very, very much.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. I want to talk to you as we close the broadcast about day 3 in the heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. We're taking a journey from December 1st to the heart of Christmas on December 25th. And today we focus on the golden key of messianic prophecy. Prophecy represents one of the most powerful proofs of the divine origins of the biblical text. The book of Daniel, of course, is a classic case in point. In the midst of the 6th century Babylonian captivity, God revealed through Daniel his present and his eternal purposes for Israel and indeed for the world. So what we see in Daniel is an accurate prediction of the progression of kingdoms from Babylon through the Median and through the Persian empires to the further persecution and suffering of the Jews under Antiochus IV Epiphanes. And that includes the Syrian despot's desecration of the Jerusalem temple, his untimely death, and freedom for the Jews under Judas Maccabeus in 165 BC. What an incredible story we have here of prophecy, where nations are foretold that come into existence centuries later. Daniel's writing in the 6th century, and he's able to talk about what's going to happen with such detail in the 2nd century, such detail that skeptics say he must have been writing history after the fact rather than making prophecy beforehand. Of course, since Christ is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, it shouldn't surprise us that prophecies regarding him outnumber all other prophecies. Many of these prophecies would have been impossible for Jesus to deliberately conspire to fulfill, like his descent from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his birth in Bethlehem, his crucifixion with criminals, the piercing of his hands and his feet on the cross, the soldiers who gambled for his clothes, the piercing of his side, and the fact that his bones were not broken at his death, and of course, his burial among the rich. Perhaps the most beloved of all the Old Testament prophecies is encapsulated in the words of Isaiah, who 8 centuries before the birth of Christ wrote the immortal words, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father," in other words, possessor of eternity, and Prince of Peace. Only Messiah, born of a virgin, could match the meaning of such majestic monikers. Not only so, but the Christ who walked through the doorway of Isaiah's messianic prophecy made the ultimate prediction: destroy this temple, and I will raise it up again in 3 days, After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Well, that's day three in our journey to the heart of Christmas. Of course, today, December 3rd. Again, The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. It is an absolutely beautiful book available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, one of the most beautiful books we've ever offered, and a devotional that will be with you year after year as we celebrate the first Advent of Jesus Christ, the perpetual Advent of Jesus Christ, and the coming Advent of Jesus Christ when he returns to put all things to right. The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 CRI, again for your gift, we will send you The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. Thank you all for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember that this broadcast is made possible by listeners just like you. When I was doing the broadcast almost 12 months ago, we had a mountain of debt. It seemed insurmountable. But God gave us His grace. And many people, some giving large amounts, others small amounts, stood together. And we have just about eliminated that mountain of debt. Of $2.9 million of accumulated operational debt, we only have $475,000 to go. It seems like a mountain, but compared to the mountain that's already been scaled, it seems maybe more appropriate to call it a molehill. In God's economy, it is nothing. With many people standing together, we will not only be able to circumnavigate the mountain, but we will be able to seize the opportunities in the year 2011. You can make that possible whether you give a large gift or a small gift. Please stand with us prayerfully and financially. Give as God has given you His grace, not to give to us, but through us to reach the lives of people for time and for eternity. You can make your gift today by logging onto the World Wide Web at equip.org, giving in a safe, secure fashion there, by writing me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and as always, by talking to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Again, thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
When was the last time you visited us on our website? It's easy to find at equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you'll find links that will instantly connect you with the latest that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. Seeking answers to your most pressing questions? Click on the Research tab, type in your keyword, and you'll find a vast array of information on your topic. Connect with CRI on Facebook and Twitter, or read Hank's blog. You can also listen to current and past Bible Answer Man broadcast. All this and more when you go to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute.
Believe it or not, even Santa can be saved. Far from being a dangerous fairy tale, Santa Claus, in reality, is an anglicized form of the Dutch name Sinterklaas, which in turn is a reference to St. Nicholas, a Christian bishop from the 4th century. According to tradition, St. Nick not only lavished gifts on needy children, but also valiantly supported the doctrine of the Trinity at the Council of Nicaea in AD 325.
Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by Hank Hanegraaff with accompanying Christmas Carol CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas CD, or quantity discount options.
These are the last of the last days. Oh, somewhere between 2003 and 2005, Jesus will come back.
How much longer do you think we really might have? I don't believe we have another 10 years.
Anywhere from now till 2018, Jesus Christ will appear to set up his 1,000-year kingdom of revelation.
When will Jesus come back? The consensus is as varied as the number of so-called experts you ask. So where do you turn for definitive scriptural insight on the end times?
Understanding Revelation is now within your grasp. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff deals with today's most asked prophecy questions. It distinctively presents a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about end times and why it matters today by Hank Hanegraaff. Now available in softcover, you can order by calling 888-7000-CRI or by going online to equip.org.